Hey, welcome back to the show. Patrick here on the Patrick Podcast. We have another kind of interesting episode today. I'm excited. This is the first time that I actually get to sit down with a guy that kind of helps one of our many producer friends who helped put this thing on, Mr. Benjamin. We do a quote episode with Benjamin. It's awesome. So kind of, and if you want to know like what's happening, like all the people who are helping me create this thing and put this thing out in the universe, I want to have them on and to do some kind of episode. So this is Benjamin's episode. So we do a quote episode and it's wonderful. He shares some really cool quotes that I think you're really going to find interesting. And some you may have heard before, but just hearing it from Ben and why he loves the quote and who he kind of learned the quote from is always fascinating and leads to some really neat places. So enjoy this delicious episode of quotes from Benjamin and I. But yeah, that's it. Also, don't forget iTunes. I know, you don't want me to say the iTunes thing, but please go and subscribe on iTunes and like, give us the ratings, leave a comment. I would love you to pieces if you did that. That'd be so, so helpful. So please go and do that. Follow us on Instagram. Give us a shout out. Repost. Do all the things. If you have Twitter, retweet me. I'm at Patrick Chappelle on the Twitters. So yeah, do all the things. Follow all the things. Retweet, repost. Show the love. I love you guys. Ben, what's happening on your end?
Man, I'm just excited for people to hear this. This was fun. It was fun to be in that room, and yeah, it was cool to relive some parts of my childhood based on some of the quotes that I shared, but yeah, it's a good one.
Oh, so good. Okay, here we go. Oh, that was like a clap at the end. All right.
You don't have to clap. I just realized, you know.
Yes.
It would just be silly for us to do an intro for this episode.
No, it wouldn't. You have to do an intro.
Then let's just go ahead and do the intro.
Why am I doing the intro?
Let's just do the intro right now and then pretend like some music plays for a bit and then we start the episode.
But why? I don't do that. I never do that. I always do the intro post. And then it's fun for me to remember what...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
You've right. been here for all...
I wasn't all following for...
You've been here for every... There's not been one you've missed. You've all not right. missed one.
So let's record this episode, and then we can do the intro another day. How about that? Let's do it another day.
All right. Here we are. Ben,
I'm in this room.
You are in this room. Well, I don't know if people know.
Yeah, so
that there are two different rooms.
Yeah, usually I'm on the other side of the glass, literally.
Yeah,
there's a window between the two rooms that we record in. I'm usually in what's called the control room.
Yeah,
pushing buttons.
This will all be on the behind the scenes and the Patreon page that we don't have.
But today I just hit record and ran in this room, and now I'm in the tracking room with you.
Maybe by the time you hear this, we'll have Patreon page up. Maybe.
Yeah, and honestly, by the time that you all hear this at listeners, we may have a new location of recording.
Yeah.
So
that's too. You're giving too much away.
Well, I just
we've given too much away.
I feel like we should preface it because if it sounds different, I don't want to get the. There's always the guy that's like,
"Oh,
why does it sound different?" It's the same guy that comments on all of Andrew Grass's drum covers that I do the audio for.
Oh,
he's like, he goes, "Hey, can we have less reverb?" And I'm like, "Well, we're recording in a warehouse, so no."
Anyways, well, sorry. So that was a hot take there. So, what we've been doing is I have. In some way, we're working through everyone who kind of helps put this podcast together,
has been on the show.
Will be.
Right. And so we've done several already, and now it's time to have Ben on the show. Now, we, you know, there's a lot of different episodes that we could have done. I could have did an interview, and that would have been wonderful. You're a part of the Nashville episode in a lot of ways, but that's not really, that's more of a...
Too much.
A lot of other voices and people involved and that kind of thing. So I thought this could be a good one. Let's have Ben come and do a quotes episode. So here we are, another quotes episode. And the way that this works is Ben has brought with him three, maybe four, but depending on how we feel, quotes that he'll share. And the reason that we...
Numbers.
What's that?
It's actually neither of those numbers, but I'll explain it later.
Okay. But the reason that we do quote episodes is a reminder to you all is I'm a big believer that all of us have these quotes that really resonate with us, that really speak to our souls, that really they awaken us, they center us. And what I mean by quotes is that, and I don't know what Ben, I have no idea what he's going to say next, but they don't always have to be from authors. They can be from musicians. They can be from a grandparent, from an aunt or uncle, mom or dad, a sibling, just something that people have said throughout your life that has really stuck with you. And so I'm excited to hear what Ben has for us today. So Ben, give us the first one and let's see where the conversation takes us.
Just to kind of explain what I've got. So I've got, we'll just see how far we get, but I've got six, but two of them are like.
Yeah, we're not doing six.
I wasn't planning on, two of them like don't really have to. Like, we don't even have to talk about, but I wanted to share them
because
I think they're special, but there's, like, it's pretty straightforward.
All right. Then maybe we'll get to those. You want to start? You want to just...
But I've split them into four groups. There's just a lot of quotes that mean something. Well, yeah. So, do you want to start with the shorter ones then?
No, well, those are going to be at the very end. We're just going to say them and leave.
Okay. Then, okay, cool. Then, all right, well, let's start...
I love it. I can't wait. I have no idea what's going to come down the pipeline.
Let's start with this one.
All right.
So, man. So, large part of my life story, which isn't very long so far. I'll just go ahead and, I'll admit it. It's not very long. I'm going to be 23 soon.
Yeah, well, that's wise. You've done 23 years of this.
But... large part of my life story is I ran cross country and track through middle school and high school. And that had a huge impact on my life. It taught me a lot of things, good and bad.
Right.
It probably simultaneously saved my life and ruined my life.
Yeah.
In different ways. So anyways, the point is those times during cross country and track, like, they had a huge impact on my life. So things, quotes from my coaches always really meant something to me. So I had a quote from who was my middle school cross country coach but remained a mentor through high school.
Nice.
And this quote was, to preface, in middle school, towards the end of my seventh grade year and going into my eighth grade year, this is when I was beginning to get really serious about running and like trying to really compete.
Yeah.
And I was beginning to show some promise. And there was a alumni from our high school who was, he was training for the Olympics at the time. He was a very famous runner from Nashville. And obviously he went to my school growing up. And so we had his records and times and things like that.
Right.
And he set all the school records, set some state records. And so I was actually trying to compare my times with his times.
As you do.
Right. And I was doing pretty well. I was getting close to his times as he was running them in middle school. So like my middle school times were not matching up with his high school times. my middle school times were matching up with his middle school times.
Right.
But anyways, I was so consumed with that and I wanted to be as good as him. And my coach told me this, and it stuck with me forever. It really has. Run the race. The times will take care of themselves.
Nice. I like that.
And it's just so beautiful and straightforward, but it's just kind of just like, quit worrying, shut up and do it.
Right. Yeah. I like that. That's a really, and that's, I love that you pulled a quote from a coach, because oftentimes if you've been a part of a team, coaches sometimes like intentionally say something that's very inspirational and sometimes unintentionally say something that's inspirational. And I don't know where that particular phrase fell for that coach, but
it's probably in the middle.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a really good way to just say, look, like, it's almost like just do the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The results will take care of themselves.
Exactly. You can't, and the way that it's translated like to today is,
yeah, that's good.
I oftentimes will get very consumed in some of the music projects that I work on and thinking about what people, the listeners, are going to think about it, which is really important. I'll admit that, but sometimes I think too much about that and forget about, do I enjoy this song that I'm working on?
Right.
Do I enjoy it? Like, I just need to get lost in the music for myself, and I need to, it just needs to work for me first before it can work for anyone else.
Right.
And there's no need to worry about that until it's worked for me.
Yeah. Because when it comes to art, when it comes to running any kind of athletic endeavor, whatever that looks like, the people, at least the people that I think are the most successful, are the ones that do it because it is a passion. It's what they love. It's coming out of this place of like, I'm just doing this thing, and I'm not really concerned about, to this quote, the times, to the awards I might receive, if or the listens I might get, or the likes I might get. It's like, no, like, this is the work that I've chosen to give myself to, whether that's the sport or creative, music, art, writing, whatever, and I'm gonna let go and just do it and enjoy the doing, and then hopefully, you know, and like you said, it's not unimportant, right? The times are important in some ways. They're good to know and good to set marks,
yeah, yeah.
Benchmarks, and it's good to like have people enjoy your music, consume it, and buy it and share it, and it's good for people to buy your books or whatever that is. But I think ultimately what that coach has given you is this gift of just do it because this is what you're here to do.
Yeah, and it's really, in simple terms, I think what it's come to mean to me is just be present.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's right.
Like, in that time, it translated literally as like, well, it's a race first and foremost, so you've got to beat the other people.
Right.
And consequently, if you beat everybody, you're going to have a better time than them at minimum, but you're probably going to have a pretty good time for yourself, a personal record.
Right.
But it's, you know, a time means nothing to that race if you didn't beat the person in front of you.
Right.
And so it's more of just like, be present in the thing you're doing, and all those statistics and all those other things that come later, they come later.
Yeah.
And it's really, it feels really dumb and simple, but like, it, I mean, he told it to me every race, and so I really needed to hear it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's tough for any of us, no matter who we are, to free ourselves from the comparison game. We're always comparing ourselves, our work, our journeys, whatever, our relationships, we're always comparing it to someone else. And
yeah.
It's like, stop the, and again, that's why so many books, so many lessons, so many, you know, wise folks tell us to let go of that. Stop worrying about the time, stop worrying about the others, and just run your race.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. That's good. Keep us going.
Yeah. So where would you like to go next? Would you like to go spiritual, musical, or just something for my dad?
Either one. I like all the paths.
Okay.
So you can
let's do music.
Music.
Let's just like get more personal as we go on.
All right. I like it.
A steady dynamic. So a real short one to just throw in there. I know we said we were gonna do it on the end, but this works well to go here. This is my band instructor in high school and middle school again. He always told us, if you can sing it, you can play it. And it was really a straightforward thought, which is, if you figure out what it's supposed to sound like, then you can play it. And it really directly translated to brass instruments, because it's utilizing some similar muscles to singing in terms of getting the pitch out. But it was just like a basic concept, and that's always stuck around to me, is like, if you can sing it, you can play it. If it's in your head somewhere, then it can come out of your head.
Right.
So that one's interesting to me.
Yeah.
What do you?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, so does that have any other deeper meaning for you, or is that kind of one of those quotes that really speaks to just the musical side of you, that like, no, I just, that's,
I mean, it's mainly the musical. It's a very practical thing for me to keep in mind, honestly, and I've been using a lot recently. I've been in my own personal projects, I've been trying to utilize my voice more, which I've never felt comfortable doing, but there's something to singing parts that it started to help me find other parts on instruments that I wouldn't usually gravitate towards, because it's what my voice wants to do rather than what my hand wants to do on a piano.
Right.
So I think that's interesting. But I mean, anything deeper than that, I think it honestly just means, like, if you can envision it, you can go after it. If you can essentially see your goal, it's easier to go for it.
Now, do you feel like there's any limits to that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you can sing it, and then I pick up a violin, which I don't play, I can't play it. Like, there has to be practice in there, and there has to be training. Right. Like, there has to be a history with the instrument, quote unquote, that you're playing, whether that's an actual instrument or if it's like, I don't know, you're trying to start a business or something. You have to have knowledge.
Right.
But if you can sing it, you can play it. I just love how simple that is. You said it all the time. You
can play it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely can see that as, hey, if you can sing it, if you can imagine it, there's a chance for you to, you know, play it. There's opportunity for you to play that.
Right. If you give more words to it, it would be, if you can sing it, it's going to be easier to play.
Right.
Is what it really
is. Yeah. And that's true. Yeah. And
but this is like the Southern way of saying it.
Yeah. And I don't want to get down a Weezer rabbit hole as I tend to do. But there is a piece of Rivers that's part of how he creates music, is that he will sing.
And then he'll
play them.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and it's like, that's how he's like, hey, if I can sing this guitar part and then play it, it's good, because now people can sing along or hum along with this, because it is from a voice. Right. Yeah. And so there's some really neat implications to that.
Totally.
Oh, all right. I'm into it. All right. Let's keep going. That seemed like a pretty flat, straightforward one. We didn't have to go deep dive on that one.
I picked this one out because I thought you would really like this. And I really like it too. I didn't mean that as like, oh, you would like it.
Oh, Patrick. No.
I mean, like, this. I know we, because this is something that we have had conversations before about. And I found this to be a very interesting quote. Okay. So this is from a guy named Ron Fair.
Okay.
He's a very, very successful producer. Like, so successful, his first project he ever worked on was the Rocky theme, and he got a Grammy for it.
As you do.
Right. He also discovered and has produced Christina Aguilera.
Ah. Ginny Nabalo?
Yes. And is it Mulan? Which song?
The Moulin Rouge?
No, the Disney movie that she sang in.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
I think it's Mulan.
Sure.
But anyways, very successful.
Never seen it.
I had the absolute honor of having a class that he taught at Lipscomb, the only class he's ever taught. And it was wild, but one of the many wild things that he would say. This was in reference to musical inspirations for artists.
Okay.
It's the template. Sorry. I already messed it up. That's the absolute opposite. It's not the template. It's the nutrition. And I think that is awesome.
Okay. Tell us why.
Because.
I hear it.
There's, as an artist. I'm not going to say as an artist. That's pretentious. And incorrect.
Just get out of your head about it, man. Just say it. Just go for it.
Honestly, as a music enthusiast who also creates music, truly, it is really easy to hear something inspiring and get too excited about it to the point that you want to make that thing.
Yeah, there you go.
And what this... Hang on. I just... accidentally pulled out my headphones.
First time for that. That's good.
I find this quote to be so humbling into saying that that stuff that excites you, that stuff that inspires you, that stuff that you wish you made, it's not what you need to make, but it is exactly what it is doing, which is it is the thing that excites you to make what you need to make.
Right. Because what we don't need is another John Bellion. As an example, right? We don't need another Bono. We don't need another Weezer. We need you. And that's what you're here to do, is to be you. And sure, like, you get inspired by the composer, by the artist, by the director, by whatever it is, right?
And you can be influenced.
Oh, you can be influenced, because we're all influenced,
right?
But it doesn't mean that you need to copy.
Yeah,
you need to do, because you've had your life, you've had your experiences, you've had your ups and downs that are yours. So you need to create and move from that space and not try to say, well, I really like Ryan Tether, so I'm going to be just like him. But no, we already have a Ryan. He's doing Ryan.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. And it's like, so you go be Bill, if your name is Bill.
It's like,
change your name to Bill. That'd be weird.
You've seen what a burger looks like. You've tasted the best burger, and you have a recipe for the best burger.
Right.
And you try to make a burger, but you don't have any of those ingredients. Because, for instance, let's take your John Bellion. Like, you've heard John Bellion. He has all the videos where he's like showing behind the scenes of how he's making stuff. But you're not John Bellion.
No. There's only one John Bellion.
You could get as close as you could to replicating that, but you are not, you didn't have his story. You don't have his vocal cords. Like, all that stuff, it won't be the same. And it might still be even cool.
Oh.
It might even still be cool. But it's not the same. And it won't have the same effect as John Bellion has on somebody else, because it's John Bellion, and John Bellion is being John Bellion, or Ryan Tedder is being Ryan Tedder, or, you know, 21 Pilots is being 21 Pilots. You know, I mean, all that stuff, there's a reason why they're so popular and so resonant towards so many people, and it's because they were unique enough, but they stayed true to that.
Well, and here's the reality too, right? Is that it's a mystery, and that's something that no one's comfortable with, is that it truly, in some ways, it is a mystery as to why certain artists make it the way that they make it, in whatever the field is, in whatever the discipline is. Like, in some level, there is mystery. Like, there are people in a city like Nashville, in a city like Atlanta, in New York, in LA, in Chicago, that are all playing music, writing books, composing, scores, who will never make it, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. But what they're doing is beautiful, and what they're doing is amazing and unique. But sometimes you could do everything exactly right, and it never happens, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
And so there is this mystery to it that none of us are comfortable with. But I love that quote.
It's a really,
I like it. It's a good quote.
I mean,
yeah, it's good.
He's an amazing, fascinating person.
And I think that, like, because part of it is like, and it's so interesting coming from a guy like that who, you know, the part of the story that we come in on for him is your first really big gig was Rocky. Yeah. Right? So we don't know. We didn't start with like what his elementary school experience was like. We didn't start with where his middle school experience was like. We didn't talk about life after high school for him and all the stuff that happened between that and when he got his first. Like, we get to that eventually, but we start with him landing that job.
Yeah.
And we say, well, I want to start there too. I want to start exactly there. And we don't even realize, like, what has been the stuff in the backdrop that has helped him be the person that he is, right?
Yeah.
But we see, like, oh, he just got that amazing break. I want a break like that. It's like, but you didn't hear all the disappointments that he had, all the struggle that he had.
Totally. And to clarify, this is, I mean, kind of ruining your point.
Sure.
But to clarify,
I love ruined points.
That specific story. The reality was, if anyone knows the history of the Rocky movies, they did not have a big budget. It wasn't like, for instance, Ron Fair scored a Christopher Nolan gig like tomorrow, right? The guy who scored this movie was not well known. The guys who made this movie, I mean, Sylvester Stallone was a nobody. Like, the whole point of it, like, that whole movie was so magical that every part of it did successful, even though they kind of started at nothing. So,
my point isn't ruined.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You still, there is a process that gets a person to where they're at.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But we hear the success and think, I can just start there and it will be successful. Like, he had been training and working on music and composing music for who knows how long, right?
Yeah.
Well,
and the way he got that gig in particular was he was there when somebody else wasn't there.
Right.
So he took somebody else's job.
Right.
And that's just another great point in particularly this industry, but in life in general, is just show up.
You show up.
But
and you show up, and when the door is open and gets unlocked, you have a choice. Do you walk through it or do you not walk through that door? Like, that's always your choice in every situation you have presented before you. And because there is a scenario in his life where he could have said, I don't know if that's really kind of like how I want to start, is by scoring a boxing movie, you know?
Right.
Like, he could have totally said no to that and chose another thing that was like, this feels more in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And now maybe he would have, that was one of his dreams was to score a boxing movie, but like, he said yes.
Yeah.
And now he is where he is. And it's kind of a mystery to that. Yeah. There's no one, you couldn't have predicted that the movie was going to become as giant and as massive.
In fact, most people predicted the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, that's a great quote. Once again, it's not the template, it's the nutrition.
Yeah.
And it was in reference to music that inspires people. Okay. Let's do Thomas Aquinas.
Okay, let's go. I like old Tom.
Yeah. This one is very relevant to my life in the last year. I feel like this kind of topic is really all I think about.
Okay.
And again, it's another thing that we've had several conversations about, so I thought it was a cool one to talk about.
Yeah.
Whatever is received according to the manner of the receiver. First off, I love quotes and poems and lyrics that use a word multiple times, but still make it feel like a new word.
Okay. Yeah.
This does that for me.
Yeah.
Let me read it again. Whatever is received according to the manner of the receiver. It doesn't feel exhausting to me. That's just a weird quirk. Anyways.
So for you, when you hear that, how does it hit you? Like what's the...
Man,
how does it resonate? How does it make you hum, if you will?
I grew up a very outgoing person, and I think I still am, but there's been in the last 4 years, particularly because of like what I do now in general in life, and I mean even for this podcast, the last 4 years I've become more introverted because I've done a lot more listening. A lot of it not on purpose, but just because I have to be on that side of the glass. But I've become a listener, and I've just like it started to kind of like seep into other parts of my life, and one of the things that I'm always just like puzzled about is why people react. You can have totally different reactions from two different people about the same thing, and I just find that fascinating, particularly in the political realm and in the theology realm. And so this quote doesn't really help me in terms of feeling satisfied, but it helps me understand that, I mean, there's so many elements that affect the way somebody hears something.
Right.
History, family background, religious background.
Yeah, and just experiences. Like, yeah, that can be wrapped up in experiences. Yeah. Like most of us are, I would say a lot of us, and definitely most, I would just say most of us are who we are in part because of the experiences that we have had or have not had, right? And so if I have a deep compassion for someone who is a certain kind of disabledness, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is likely that I have had a friend or a family member or an acquaintance that is experiencing that.
Yeah.
And I love them, therefore I now am aware of that particular injustice and struggle, right? So if a great example that I even heard recently was someone started to realize how certain buildings are not accessible for individuals who are in wheelchairs, because they had a coworker who was in a wheelchair, and they were not able to get into spaces easily. And he was like, "Wow, I just didn't realize it." And so now they're so aware of that, right?
Right.
And it changes how they receive, mm-hmm, and how they experience everything in their world. It's like, this is not great for my friend who is in a wheelchair, who is not able body enough to just hop over this ledge and climb up these steps and things of that nature. And yeah. So I think that is a part of the experience. But before then, if you've never had someone you were super close to live that kind of experience, it's the same kind of thing with when we talk about, like you said, with anything political or social. It's like if you don't have a friend that's of a different ethnic group than you are, like deep friendship, you are missing out on something. No matter where you're at, if you're black or white or Hispanic or, you know, Asian, whatever that may be, that's why it's so good for us to have friends that are diverse.
Yeah,
in every sense of the word of diverse, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's a beautiful quote for Thomas.
I think this quote has turned into, it's kind of like proposed a challenge in my head, and that is, receive it as other receivers.
Oh yeah.
So I've tried to get better at not hearing about something in the news as Ben, but as, like, I want to be careful here because I don't want to, but I want to hear it as Patrick, a black sure. man. I want to hear it as a woman. I want to hear it as a transsexual. I want to try, even though there's no way that I can succeed at this, I want to try my best to see what something would sound like if I were those people. And I can't even get close to hearing, you know, some sort of tragedy about police brutality on black people. There's no way I could get close to experiencing that as a black person could, but if I try, that's better than hearing it as just a white person.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what this quote has kind of turned into for me, is this challenge. And it's been a ride to just, like, before translating something in my own head, to try to translate it in multiple heads.
Right.
So to speak. That's kind of a weird concept. But
yeah. I mean, in receiving, say it again, give it to me one more time.
Whatever is received according to the manner of the receiver.
Right. According to the manner of the receiver. So if I'm trying to receive whatever it is with my hands open, like flatly open, ready to receive it, ready to not, like, I'm not judging it, I'm just receiving it. That's different if I have my hands closed off in fist, not really want, if I have my arms crossed, not wanting to even come close to trying to receive something, whatever mm-hmm. that may be.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is all on the person who is doing the receiving. And I think that's important. That's important to recognize how are we receiving the information. And it's like, and even then, if I have my hands open, it's not me saying I'm wrapping on to whatever it is and saying, oh, this is mine and this is it. It's saying, I'm okay, let's see what this is.
Yeah.
It's a totally different way of posturing yourself than some other ways. Yeah. Right.
Totally.
That's good.
I like that one. Okay. Last one / two.
Last one. Ooh.
The first one is real short. These are both from my dad, who I think it would be cool if we had him on the podcast sometime. I think he'd be a great person to talk to.
Yeah.
So this first quote is tattooed on my chest in his handwriting. This is something that he told me every night. It's not
an original. And we are pro tattoos on the show.
Thank you. I've been so worried. Whatever.
I've got tattoos. A tattoo.
You do?
Yeah, of course I do. I'm not some like,
I had no idea.
I'm not some
really?
Square.
Where?
Sorry if you don't have tattoos. You're still a square, but I'm sorry to call you a square on my arm.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So this isn't like a very original or even profound quote, but
it still
he said this to me every night, and it like has just been so powerful for me my whole life. It's just, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. And he told me that literally every night, whether he was out of town, he would just text it to me. We talked to him on the phone. He travels a lot, so we talked to him on the phone. Or if we were just at the house and I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. And he'd be like, all right, good night. Proud of you. Even on nights that I messed up and we got in a fight, he would find a way to end the night by telling me that he was proud of me. And that just like has been really important to me, especially in choosing a career path that is, it's just difficult to find the way, and it's sometimes lonely. It's just like nice to just know that my dad at least is proud of me.
Yeah.
And he meant it every time. It wasn't just a thing he said.
Yeah.
So that means a lot to me. And then here's the other one. I think this is an amazing quote, and I don't remember. I feel like he told me this is what his dad used to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Pappy, as I call my grandfather. But my dad used to tell me this all the time whenever I was like going out to prom or something.
Oh.
Like those types of situations, or like towards the later years of my high school, I was like going out late at night with my friends a lot. Not doing anything bad, but just like we just like, oh yeah, we're gonna go hang out in the Kroger parking lot. You know? And this, my dad said this all the time.
Okay.
Remember who you are and whose you are.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that's
a classic.
Great quote.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
So when you hear that quote, that, and that's like a saying that a lot of people hear and have been told, what does it mean to you? Like when you say, remember who you are, whose you are, how does that hit you? Like what's who you are and whose you are? Like who, that's the question I'm asking.
So I think this is what my dad said instead of don't do drugs, don't be an idiot. Instead of those typical parents trying to protect you thing, which is great. Maybe in the right manner. but
it's good.
My dad chose to say this instead, and the way that it would hit me is, if you're going to do something, be sure about it, because it reflects who you've decided to be. And secondly, if you're going to do something that is maybe pushing it, a little risque,
yeah,
remember who you belong to, whether it's I'm the son of John and Catherine, or I'm associated with this school, or this church, or this community, this city. Remember those things so that even if it's maybe a stupid decision,
right,
it's not going to affect others that are associated with you.
Yeah. And I think that's a tough thing for people, for some people at least, is to recognizing that, which is we are all associated with something, right? With a group of people, with an organization. And some will say, well, I'm just kind of like me. It's like, well, no, not really. Now, I know that for some, they have such family dynamics that they are now not associated with those families. Right.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. But most of us work somewhere, you know.
Right.
Potentially. And whether you think that what your actions are representation of your workplace, you know, that depends on the situation there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we take work out of the equation. But, and then say you're a part of a church. Okay, that definitely kind of speak to that, right?
Yeah.
But we all have potentially be a part of some type of faith tradition or not. But okay, so say you're not even connected there. You're still a part of a group of people, a friend group. And so what you're doing or not doing kind of speaks to, oh, that's the kind of group that you are.
Yeah.
And so we're always going to be associated with something. And I think that's tough for people because we want to believe that I can just be this solo.
I can just do me.
Individual.
Yeah.
That's not connected to anyone or anything or any organization. And I just don't think that is the case.
And it's hard because I think simultaneously, I personally think the human should be mature enough to recognize also that people are individual.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, sure.
On the contrary. But it's like you're saying, it's really important, like a specific situation. Christians have to realize that the way they act around people who aren't who don't consider themselves Christians, you are their impression of Christianity. Like, whether you like it or not, that's just like, if they know you are a Christian, that's like they're going to attach some sort of what you do, how you behave towards Christianity. Same with anything else. I mean, like, it's why there's stereotype jokes. You know what I mean? Like, in the music world, we have drummer jokes because there were enough drummers who acted one way.
Right.
And so now, that's how we view drummers. You know? And producers and engineers, like all of it. You know, I love drummers. But it's really important for you to recognize that people will associate you with who you say you are. And who you say you are is like not just you. It's like everything right. you come from and everything that you're a part of. And that is like crucial. And yeah.
Well, and I think the other side of that too is that the receiver of the experience that you're having. So say you come in contact with a Christian, a black person, a white person, a male or female, and you have a really bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that everyone who is that kind of person, like, is the same. So, like, if you have a really bad experience with a black man, it doesn't mean that all black men are like that one black man.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And I think that some people do that, like, especially when it comes to kind of faith things,
right?
Political things. It's like, oh, so you're a Christian, so you believe in yada, 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 yada.
Right.
You're like, well,
You're a Muslim.
Oh, yeah,
so,
exactly, right?
Yeah.
Or, oh, you're from that neighborhood, so you must be, or you are part of that, you know, club of people. You know, so I think we have to equally be careful to not just, because we have, and it could be worse, as well, Patrick, I've had multiple bad experiences with a white man.
Mm-hmm.
But again, how many white men live on planet Earth?
Right.
How many black people yeah. live on planet Earth? How many Latino people live on planet Earth? Is that many uniquely different ways to be that? So I can't say, well, I dislike all. I can't. Because you know why? I have not met all.
Right.
Period. Right. I haven't met them all. So there's probably good chance one or two or 10 or 20 that I would really resonate and connect with of whatever fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But what we do is that we say, well, I've had a couple bad experiences with fill in the blank. So now I'm done. Well, friend, you're lazy. You heard me. You heard me. Rewind it. You're lazy. Like, that just means you need to keep at it and just keep saying, okay, I know what I've experienced, but I still move forward and I still try to say, well, this person says they're of this thing and I see they look like this. This could be a different experience.
Yeah.
But it's easier. It's so easy just to write off any group of people. That's easy.
Yeah.
It's lazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, this quote.
It's a tangent.
Well, this quote kind of like makes you think about the flip side of that, which is like, I mean, so like the quote is saying, because people are going to judge you for who you're associated with, and also judge who you're associated with because of you, because people do that, then just act accordingly. Act right. The way you should. But what we're talking about is like, this quote makes you think, but we also should go beyond that and just not do that.
Right.
And not judge people based on the group.
Right. Well, and I think even the front part of the
or quote, judge the group yeah. based on an individual.
Right. Yeah. And I think another important piece of that, and this is a total deep dive kind of situation, but the quote starts off with, remember who you are, right?
Yeah.
And for some, you haven't answered that question
yeah.
yet.
Absolutely.
And for some, you got to go there. You got to figure out who you are. And some of us out there have not taken that time, right? To figure out who you are. So it's that somewhat why some people hear that quote and it falls flat, because they haven't even done the work of figuring out who they are.
Yeah.
So how can I even begin that who you are? Don't forget who you are and whose you are when I don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
And so that's, it's one of those like cliche-y kind of quotes. But again, there's nothing wrong with the cliche-y
quote. And it meant a lot to me.
Because it meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
Because it still resonated with you. And the truth of the matter is that there's nothing wrong with cliche. There's nothing wrong with, you know, those kind of things, because or there's always some truth hidden in that.
Yeah.
That's why it's lasted so long. That's why it still resonates.
Yeah.
You know, if there are other quotes that probably emerged during that time of that particular quote, whenever it was first said to human ears, that have fallen away. But that one has lasted because it still rings true for a lot of people, and it rings true for you, which is good.
And similar to the Thomas Aquinas quote, like, in recent years, it's kind of turned into like a challenge for me too, because in the recent years, as I've become to realize that my parents are my heroes and they had such a huge influence on the good parts of me, that this quote now means remember whose you are because you want to be like them, because who they are is awesome and you want to be like them. So it's kind of turned into a challenge too to be more like my parents, because they've been such good influential people for me. So there's just like a lot of layers to that quote, and it's always stuck with me. And it's just funny that like I mean I don't think that my dad is like a non-intentional person, but his probably didn't have much intention behind that quote than just saying just a better way of saying don't be stupid.
Yeah.
And it's just funny that it's meant so much to me.
It's good. I like them. Good quotes, Ben.
Thanks. Thanks for letting me break the rules.
What rules did you break?
The 3 or 4 quotes.
Oh, that's fine. You can break a couple rules. We're rule breakers around here. All right. Hey, that was good. You feel good?
Yeah.
I feel good too. All right. Hey, thanks again for giving the quotes. And yeah. And hope you enjoyed it. And I guess we'll see y'all soon. Peace.